Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey folks, the other day I came up with a catchy slogan for the 2020 election that you people seem to like, so here goes. Flush the turd on November 3rd. And now I've put this anti-Trump zinger on hats, mugs, and t-shirts, now available for purchase at our brand new Zazzle store. Just go to bobzeska.com and click buy our crap just under my face at the top of the page. You can't miss it. The mugs and t-shirts also feature original artwork by yours truly, a toilet with a really long red tie hanging off the side. The hats are embroidered with the slogan, and you can choose from a variety of styles and colors. Again, flush the turd on November 3rd. Get your items now while supplies last. Click the Buy Our Crap link just under my face at bobzeska.com. Thank you in advance, and now let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Zeska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
I've just received word. There's been a battle. The Enterprise is burning in space.
Don't believe it.
There's no need for any further information from you. Our troops were successful in spite of your refusal to help me. You might have saved yourself a great deal of torment by yielding at the beginning.
I want to see a neutral representative.
There is no such person. The word will be that you perished with your crew.
What must I do?
Nothing, really. Tell me how many lights you see?
Guards are coming. Don't be a stubborn fool.
How many?
You told me he would be ready to go.
A ship is waiting to take him back to the Enterprise.
Captain Picard. If you'll go with the guards, they'll take care of you.
Ah! Ah! Four lights!
Seska.
Hello, Seska. You're looking radiantly maternal.
The Bob Seska Show.
Four lights, goddammit. Four. There are four lights. Don't ever forget, four lights. From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, June 25, 2019, and this is the Bob Zeska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. It is the greatest soap in the universe. Hi, what's up? My name is Bob. What's happening?
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 888 of the Trump crisis, day 49 of the constitutional crisis, 496 days until the 2020 presidential election. And now, look, sitting right over there is my buddy, Buzz Burbank. Hi, Buzz. Hello. I don't hear him. Oh, my God, where's Buzz?
Oh, I'm sorry. I tripped over a dead rat coming in.
Again?
You know, so many people, Bob, it's amazing, ask me are you on the Bob Seska Show? And I say, he's not my type. I've actually saved this show, though. I'm very proud of this. Yeah. I had decided to blow up the show today, but I thought about it for a second and decided that would be a disproportionate response.
That's right. I thought so. Yeah. I know you. I know. And everything's even Steven with you.
But because we are both stable geniuses, stay with us to the end of the show today when at the last minute, Bob and I will reverse everything we've said.
There you go. Exactly. See? Teasing. Always teasing the show.
I'm just trying. You know, we're here to prove that despair can be fun.
Yeah.
But if you take nothing else away from today's show.
Yeah, I think so. And you know what? That's the word of the day, I think. I don't know if it's going to be the title of the show, but I think despair is the word of the day. I'm feeling a little bit of it this week, I swear to God. And by the way, yes, I know. I've played that Star Trek clip from Chain of Command. I've played that recently, and by recently, I want to say sometime in the last 4 or 5 months, but it still applies. That's why I'm wheeling it out again. Absolutely necessary to play right now, because I really feel like we're at the point now, Buzz, where, and I've said this on Facebook, I wrote this for Salon, I wrote an entire piece for Salon today. Basically, I feel like the fabric of right versus wrong, right and wrong, fact versus fiction in this country is just rapidly disintegrating. And it's been happening for quite a while. This isn't breaking news. I'm not saying this is some sort of new phenomenon that we all have to tackle right here and now, but we do have to tackle it right here and now. It's just not something that's new. It's just something that's worsening, and we're seeing new indications, new strata that have been reached, new terrible depths that have been plumbed in this war on the truth that is taking place in the White House, on Fox News Channel, coming in from Russian propaganda, all the rest of it, the people on Twitter, Facebook, as far as the Red Hats go. It's at the point now where I feel like we need someone to step in immediately. I'm not talking about the 2020 election. I think we need some sort of hero to jump in. And I don't know. This is really, really conceptual and big picture here, but it's true.
Aliens from other planets, if you're listening.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I keep going back to that clip. I mean, that clip that we played at the top of the show from that Star Trek The Next Generation episode, as I said, Chain of Command, where they come in at the last minute and say, a ship is waiting to take you back to the Enterprise, Captain Picard. And he's just about to say that there were 5 lights instead of 4 lights. They almost broke him, but at the last minute, the Enterprise rescued Captain Picard and freed him from that enslavement and torture at the hands of the Cardassians.
And thank goodness, because now CBS All Access can have a new Captain Picard show.
That's right, which I'm very much looking forward to.
I'm trying to deal with this. I think things are going pretty well, don't you?
Yeah, perfectly, as always.
Iran says it's up against a White House that is mentally crippled. I hope to be mentally crippled right after we finish this show.
Oh, we're in another one of these, huh?
It's the only way we can deal with this at this point is humor, because it is despair. I sense it. You feel it. I feel it. A lot of people listening, if not everybody, feels it at this point, because we don't get anywhere.
Yeah.
And so my assessment of where we are right now, the state of things, in my opinion, is that our only hope, if we can make it that far, is the 2020 election.
Yeah.
But that's a big if.
Yeah.
At the rate things are going, that's a very big if. Mm-hmm. And it's terrifying. And unless some caped crusader descends upon us to save us from all this. What's Mueller doing?
Yeah, I know. Mueller's doing this. He's in Rehoboth Beach. He's having a Mai Tai on the beach right now. That's where Robert Mueller is, apparently.
It's his response to this crisis is exactly that.
Yeah, just this. Yeah, perfect. Thank you, Special Counsel Robert Mueller. Thank you for checking in today. It's drawn, really, my despair, Buzz, I don't know about you, but it's drawn from two things, and let's make sure we set up this properly in terms of why we're saying all these things. And that is,
I'm probably with you on this.
Yeah, it's the Chuck Todd interview from over the weekend, and I want to be more specific about that in a second. And specifically the things that Donald Trump was saying in the context of that interview, plus the Gene Carroll story. There are so many things now where you just look at it from 30,000 feet and you go, how the hell, like in the case of Gene Carroll, for example, how in the hell do people actually believe the word of a man who has told 10,700 something lies in the last 2.5 years, public verifiable lies compiled by the Washington Post. How are people believing that guy, the guy from the Trump steaks and the Trump vodka and the Trump University, all the rest of it? How are they believing that guy over someone who's told zero public lies? And that's Jean Carroll, this writer from New York.
Well, when you say people are believing, 30-some percent of the people are believing it, perhaps. I'm not even sure that some of his supporters believe it. They just don't care.
They don't.
But it isn't... We can't despair over something that isn't entirely true, and that is people don't think that. A minority of people think that. A sizable, concerning minority, but a minority nevertheless believe that. We know that from the 20 accusations, or 21 accusations, of 20, I believe it is, accusations against him. We know these things to be true, especially when contrasted with what he said on the Access Hollywood tape. This is the guy. We know this guy. We know how he is. And, like I said, I think his supporters know that, too. It's the difference is they don't care. We do.
Yeah.
But, yes, everything's – here's what I see from 30,000 feet. Nothing's being done.
Yeah.
It is – but it isn't.
Yeah.
And it's moving so slowly that if we survive until the 2020 election, they still won't be there.
Yeah.
They will never. I'm just at this rate, it will never happen. How many times do we have to say it? Pelosi, we love you. You have served us well, but you are wrong on this.
Yeah.
And there's historic evidence of this in the Watergate era, for example. The public did not support impeachment until after the impeachment process began.
Yep.
So if you want to change it, you can't wait to be led by the public, and especially not in light of this emergency.
Mm-mm.
When you look at the treatment of the children and the rapist in chief my theory, which I will discuss in detail on Thursday on my show, I'll be talking about the mindset and in fact the FBI profile of an arsonist who is also a firefighter. And this is the president of the United States, only without actual fire.
That's right.
He does set them and then tries to put them out.
Yep.
And then claims credit for putting them out even though the embers are still glowing.
Yeah.
We see no punishment. We see no results. We're seeing crime with no punishment. We're seeing lies with no repercussion.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me a few days ago, back when I wasn't feeling this despaired, somebody said, Buzz, do you see now why we have this despair, why we find this hopeless?
Yeah.
And I said, oh, I see why. I just don't have the patience for it. I don't want to join them. I don't want to be in that despair. But when you see the days and the weeks flip by on the calendar with nothing changing, and in fact, if anything, getting worse, seeing democracy and like you said, the difference between right and wrong crumble before our very eyes, it feels a little hopeless. And how do we ever undo this thing where... Yeah. This bubble of unreality that at least a third of this country lives within. How do we correct that? How do we fix that? How do we fix it when, I'm sorry, I'm really soapboxing here.
That's
how
fine.
Do we fix it? How do we fix it when my dad says Rachel Maddow is a kook? Dad, she's a Rhodes Scholar. I don't care. She's a kook.
She's a kook.
This conversation has burned into my memory and now that of our listeners as well, I think. But, this is, how do you, my dad, sadly, will pass at some point.
Yeah.
But there are people much younger than him who believe the same thing. And this is just ever so frightening and hopeless feeling.
Well, the main thing for me, Buzz, and I kind of heard your sigh when I mentioned the Chuck Todd thing, but the thing is that he was, he kind of stuck it to Trump on a few occasions but at the same time, I feel like it was all within the confines of normalcy. Like he would have done that with any president sitting there trying to pass off some line of bullshit on television. Chuck Todd would have acted in the same way if that had been George W. Bush or Barack Obama or Bill Clinton or anyone we've seen in recent history. The fact is that that's what's driving me nuts the most, is this idea that now the lies, and again, we say lies and that Trump's a liar and it's, oh yeah, well, breaking news, Bob, tell us something we don't know. But the fact is that it's getting to the point now where we're so far beyond the realm of some kind of reasonable dialogue in this country. Uh-huh. And granted, the political discourse in the United States has always been kind of a shovel fight. Make no mistake, I understand what it's all about. We've all been participating in it for years and years and years. All you have to do is look through history and see examples of tough times along those lines.
All the way back to the first 4 years of this country,
as a matter of fact. Oh, my God, precisely. And me being a student of the Civil War, I certainly understand when things really come to a crisis point, how terrible things can get. But at the same time, I feel like now, I don't know if this lack of attention to the truth, I don't know if this war against the truth that's happening on one side of the political aisle right now ever can get rebottled. I don't know if you can put the toothpaste back in the tube with this thing, because now it's out there. The precedent has been set. It's starting this perpetual motion machine, you know, and revving that thing up to the point where I don't know that the debate improves. I don't know that the debate ever returns to some sort of agreement on the basic facts where, what, you know, it's no longer about issues. It's no longer about fact. It's all about the antagonism. The antagonism is everything for these people. And that's why it's the only thing. It's just screw the facts. Well, antagonism is the only thing. And
victory plus antagonism. We won. Ha ha. That's really what that's about. Yeah,
and exactly. And the whole disillusioning reality of the fact that that there are millions of people in this country. I don't know if it's still 62 million. I don't know if it's still at that number. It's probably lower than that now after a couple of years. But 62 million people believe the word, or at least they, you know, if they don't believe it, they at least allow it to continue to happen.
Right.
So there's
two
factions on that side, whereas it's either we believe everything he says or we don't believe anything he says, but it doesn't matter because he's owning the libs. Either way, it's still disintegrating the fabric of right and wrong in this country. I don't know how else to describe it, but there are millions of people who are fine with kids in internment camps or prison camps or whatever the hell you want to call it. I mean, children, more than 1,000 of them have reported being sexually assaulted under the watchful eye of Border Patrol and so on. And these guards who are supposed to be helping, who are supposed to be servants of the American people, but who are in fact molesting children, raping children, incarcerating these children at behest of people like Stephen Miller and Donald Trump. Again, millions of viewers of Fox News Channel, millions of people who have succumbed to the Russian propaganda, who don't want to hear the facts. They just
how do you change that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How do you erase the normalization of this? How do you reverse it? I mean, we've all been screaming since Election Day 2016. This is not normal. None of this is normal. But then you again, going back to Chuck Todd, you watch an interview like that, and you see a despotic president, a proto-fascist, sitting there spouting lie after lie after lie, with millions of people agreeing with him, believing him, repeating his lies, and the major television news media. And I'm not going to indict the entire media across the board, because there are a lot of great journalists out there. But we know the usual suspects. We know the ones who allow Trump to keep getting away with it.
Can't keep getting away with it.
Well, he does, and he keeps getting away with it because he's allowed to get away with it. And so, that, again, what that does is that metastasizes this feeling of untruth, this feeling of bullshit, this bogus nonsense is becoming reality. It's just
that
everything.
It's okay.
Yeah, and it's okay.
I'll tell you who didn't go easy on Trump was Jose Diaz-Balart of Telemundo in his interview. Yeah. I thought he was even more aggressive than was, and yet respectful to the office, but even more aggressive with Trump than was Chuck. Chuck is Chuck, you know. I love that somebody has the Twitter handle, Chuck Todd's Bangs. which cracks me up. But this is Chuck. This is the common complaint about Chuck Todd. We expect that. But you're right about, I feel myself as much, and I was defending the media as recently as yesterday, but the honest truth is they've let me down. Yeah. You know, I'm disappointed. The Democrats in Congress have let me down. Mm-hmm. Robert Mueller has let me down. Oh, why aren't I more cheerful? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is why we have this despair that we all share. And you also commented on, you mentioned in passing, and you are a buff of the Civil War history. And this, whether or not it will ever come to that, I don't believe that it will. I hope that it won't. I wouldn't want that to happen. But what we do have right now, we do have this, and everybody listening to me knows this. We have brother against brother.
Yeah.
We have son against father.
Mm-hmm.
When will the Trump supporters realize that it is he who is driving us apart?
Yeah.
When will they experience the Trump fatigue that we feel? Because surely at some point, I mean, I keep thinking, I understand, you know, they tune a lot of it out. They listen to conservative supportive media, state media, as it were, propaganda television. You know, and they still have that anger and they still have that glee over having beaten the liberals in the last election and now determined to defeat everything liberals, progressives stand for. How we deal with it, which is your main overall question, I think we can get most of the stain out would be the analogy that I would make. I think writing this government through an election, which is ultimately is going to happen no matter what happens between now and then, we think, we hope. Although, you know, nothing's for certain these days, but we have that to hang on to, and things can change after that. Having a party in power that is not corrupted by Russia and greed, and owning the libs, we can actually, I think, you turn this country around and get people on board with a kinder America.
Yeah.
That will help. That will go a long, long way to healing the wounds generated by Trump.
Yeah.
But you're right. A lot of it will linger. We won't get all of the stain out. I'm sorry. We tried.
Right. And, you know, a significant portion of my despair buzz, and going back to what you're saying about the election, is that I feel like there is metastatic cancer in this country, and it's infecting the political discourse. It is destroying the political discourse in this country. And I feel like the next nearest time we can start treatment for that metastatic cancer is November of 2020, some 500 days from now. How many days? I said 496 days from now. 496 days in which Donald Trump can continue to move that Overton window of bullshit closer and closer to his whatever paradigm he wants it to be. And meanwhile, you know, we've got, you know, going back to what you're saying against brother, that Civil War concept of people pitted in, even in their own families, pitted against each other, where one side, one group of people that we know personally, but are willing to believe the word of a guy who has told 11,000 lies in 2.5 years, not even including what the lies that he told in the campaign, they're willing to believe that. Again, good people, you know, believe that guy, the 11,000 lies guy, over you and me. And that is bizarre. That is disconcerting. That is disillusioning. I mean, because of our president's fire hose of lies, I wrote in Salon today, people I know falsely believe I support legalized infanticide. They do. And they believe that you think that too. We all have family and friends who think it's okay to lock up children in internment camps because something about MS-13 that they can't quite define. That apparently they're all, and you know, that interview we're
something,
talking about.
Something, MS-13, something. Yeah.
Exactly. We all know people who think that a man who has told 11,000 lies since his inauguration is more credible than literally everyone else, that everyone is a liar except Donald Trump. That is the trick. That is the key to this whole goddamn crisis, that they believe that this guy, who is a serial liar and has been known as a serial liar for decades, at least out here on the East Coast, they know that. We all know that. We've all witnessed it. That guy is the only truth teller in the world right now, according to his disciples. And that is staggering and disheartening and every other pejorative word I can think of.
Right. So what can we do about that?
Yes.
Here's what I think will help.
Right.
I mean, as I've always said, there'll be 15% of us, the diehards, who will never let go.
Mm-hmm.
They're just insane, and we just have to deal with that because the 15% of insane is ever present, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think we can change this. I think we can change directions here and this is what we have to do. We have to prove that they are wrong about Donald Trump.
Yep.
I know it sounds insurmountable. And you're not going to do it with little drips and drabs here and there about him. They've heard plenty of that. And that hasn't worked. It's going to have to be presented as a package or as a bombshell or as something that is undeniable proof. I think one of the ways to do that is to get the Mueller report out there. I love the idea. I believe it was last night that there was the live performance by Starz of the Mueller report. I think that's a great idea. I saw somebody, maybe it was Sue in Rockville, proposed that those of you with a sexy liberal network and perhaps I get together and do our own reading of the Mueller report.
Great.
I support anything that gets that gets this word out there, and I'll be available all next week as I'm otherwise taking the week off for Independence Day.
right. Yeah, I mean, as far as solutions go, I think the best recommendation I have is essentially how I concluded my Salon article this week, and also how I started today's show. Keep repeating. Don't ever forget that there are four lights. Four lights. You see four lights. You don't see five. You don't see three. There are four lights. Which all that is to say, hold fast to the truth. And we all know what the truth is. We can all go to the Department of Justice website and look up the letter from Jeff Sessions launching the zero tolerance policy that gave rise to this family separation thing. We can all read those documents. We can read the Mueller report. We can listen to celebrities performing the Mueller report. These are the facts. Donald Trump has told 11,000 lies. That is an absolute 100% fact. It was Barack Obama who signed VA choice into law. It was Barack Obama who was responsible for rescuing the economy from the Great Recession and creating job growth and economic growth over the course of his 8 years. And then Donald Trump reaping the benefit of that. It was Barack Obama who had a larger average of job growth in his last 28 months versus Donald Trump's first 28 months. These are all verifiable, mathematical, statistical facts. That we
Obama
all,
in 2020.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. My God. Good Lord. You know what?
If
Michelle Obama entered the race right now, goodbye, everybody. Goodbye to the 20. They would have to cancel the debates tomorrow night and Thursday night.
Because if Malia entered the race, she would win.
Yes. Fingers crossed. My God, if only that could actually happen. But no, I mean, seriously, it's... with regard to the election, I understand that there is a large field and there are many, many people in that field of Democrats who could be president of the United States starting tomorrow. There's no doubt about that.
That field is going to narrow starting tomorrow, too.
Yes, that is very true. And I'm afraid the front runner is going to narrow a little bit after tomorrow.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Things could change dramatically. Get a good seat, folks.
Yeah. But the fact is that it's still a long ways off. It's still 496 days off. And that's even just the election. That doesn't mean the other 2.5 months or whatever it is after that.
With the growing encampment and treatment of children and the neglect and abuse that occurs there. And I think you mentioned sexual abuse earlier. I think neglect even is a bigger crime. These kids are underfed. They're sleeping on concrete floors with aluminum blankets and, you know, they're getting instant noodles for lunch.
Yeah,
this country gets crueler and crueler by the day. Can we make it those 496 days? Can we make it past a war, an actual shooting war with Iran or somebody else. Will we make it that 496 days? All we can do is hope, because clearly nothing really has or is being done to stop this madness. One other tiny possible ray of hope is that it looks like we may be very close now to getting Robert Mueller's testimony before Congress. Wow. We'll see, and we'll see if he has anything to say beyond crickets.
Yeah, well, that's right. I think yeah. I was just going to say, we have some comment from Nancy Pelosi on all of that, and there it is.
Yeah. And that's what we're getting. Why we're all, we're all in despair. Mm-hmm. And as I said, we're just here to prove despair can be fun.
That's right. I mean, here's the thing, Buzz. I mean, I've been doing this a long time. I started, you know, really taking an interest in politics when I was 16 years old, somewhere around there. I started writing about it for my high school newspaper and so on. Right. And I've really been knee deep in it. Even when I was doing cartoons, doing radio, I still had one foot in politics, always following what was going on. And then really starting to take a serious firsthand, almost career driven interest in it in the early 2000s, right around 9/11. And so on, first when I first started to blog about it and so on. And, you know, I got to a point where I felt like, I kind of got this figured out. I kind of figured out how all of this works. And I compare it to metaphorically like a puzzle that I've assembled on a giant table, and I put all the pieces together, and then up comes Donald Trump, and he looks at the puzzle and goes, "Ah, fuck you." And he takes the puzzle and scrambles it all around, and there's pieces flying all over the room, and I'm trying to grab them as they fly past my head, trying to block them from hitting me in the eye. I feel like I've lost a grasp on any understanding of how things operate in this country now that everything is so skewed into the realm of absolute 100% verifiable fiction. And I guess that's what I suppose I need to start to embrace, the idea that the discourse is no longer going to be about even heated battles over issues and over things that we all agree are morally acceptable and morally unacceptable. Now it's just, Jesus Christ, that guy's wrong, so I'm going to dox him. Or that guy is too much of a libtard, so I'm going to destroy him and make sure we're targeting him for removal from Twitter. It becomes like this blood sport now, where you add this extra dimension of just sheer utter awfulness, where it's no longer Democrats and Republicans arguing about tax cuts or healthcare. It's Democrats.
It's vengeance.
There's vengeance, but then there's this ugliness, and I'm talking about children in prison camps. I'm talking about forced vaginal exams in Missouri. I mean, this level of grotesque
meanness,
and cruel whimsy, as we've been calling it on the show recently. You check in on social media, and it's like, holy shit! It's like sticking your face into an active explosion. It's like sticking your face into the reactor core at Chernobyl, and you're like, oh my god! And you're suddenly hit by a giant wave of radiation. You go, well, I don't know if I want to be part of this, and so it's driving so many people to just give up. It's driving people to become apathetic. It's driving people to stop paying attention. And I guess that's the idea, to drive down energy, to drive down voter turnout out of just sheer despair. And I want to make clear, and I don't know, maybe I mentioned this earlier, Buzz, but I just want to make sure that I emphasize the fact that while we may be feeling negative right now about the status of things, that's no reason to give up. In fact, this makes it even more imperative that we stick our shoulders to the wheel and continue this fight, to remain in the trenches, even though it is increasingly difficult.
And people listening to us, if you're looking for something to do, some way to help, if you're feeling this despair too, call your representative, whoever representative is plural, whoever they may be, even if they're in the other party, whether they're in your party or the other party, it doesn't make any difference. They're your elected representatives. Call them and let them know just how unhappy you are. We need to and show up at the marches and rallies and continue to post on social media and look for openings where you can in society to to interject some sanity. I'm seeing more and more, you know, I do see more people turning. A small newspaper in a somewhat conservative community I'm familiar with has letters from the editor, and the tone of these letters has shifted recently from being very pro-Trump to being very anti-Trump.
Interesting.
And I saw yesterday some very popular knitting website, Ravelry. It's called for people who are into knitting, they have apparently websites where they exchange, you know, purling tips. And but they've come out against Trump because of the cruel. So I mean, people are coming out of the woodwork, you know. And so keep that sort of thing up. Perhaps your miniature golf club could come out against Trump. It's all you can do. I think it keeps the movement alive. It helps inspire other people because it helps to know that others are feeling and as you do and acting on those feelings.
Yeah.
So there are things we can do, but it is a little hard to simply pass the time, all of us, while we're waiting for somebody to put out the fire.
Yeah, yeah. Well, before we talk about our Patreon page here, I just want to leave you with this little bit of information that you can feel free to use this in the shovel fights on your Facebook page or on Twitter or whatever, in response to any red hats or trolls that pop in. If you feel like responding to them, or, I mean, more specifically, if you end up in one of those shovel fights, but it's around the picnic table with your friends and family who happen to be red hats themselves, ask this question. Propose this challenge, this factual historical challenge to them. See how they respond. And I don't know if this is foolproof. I'm just testing it out. So feel free to use this and experiment with it yourself. Find me an era of American peace, prosperity, and greatness. Then find me the proto-Trump that's in charge of all of it. Good luck, because it's not going to happen. Find me a president like Donald Trump in American history, whose actions led to some sort of American peace, prosperity, and greatness. And as it drives me nuts, let's go back to the utopia of 1950s. Who was in charge in the 1950s? Dwight Eisenhower, who is the polar opposite in so many ways to Donald Trump. He is the opposite kind of guy. So if you want 1950s utopia, you don't pick someone who's the opposite of the guy who presided over the 1950s utopia. That makes zero sense. If you go back before that, Harry Truman, nope, still not Donald Trump. FDR, definitely not Donald Trump. So find me a time when someone behaved like Donald Trump and brought about American greatness. You're not going to find it in the United States. You know where you're going to find it? You're going to find it in third world countries. You're going to find it in fascist dictatorships. You're going to find it in authoritarian states, autocrats. So, you know, all you got to do is look at the history of Eastern Europe. Look at the history of in some cases, the Middle East. Look at Russia itself. And I'm saying look at, and I feel like Donald Trump.
Let me, if I may, finish a thought that you started a moment ago about how you began writing about politics and about basically what I drew from what you were saying is that there was a level of normalcy to it that you could expect to disagree with your opposition on certain points.
Yeah.
And that there would be, and let me just pick it up from there. There would be then moments of outrage over things like the Iran-Contra deal or the torture of the W administration.
Mm-hmm.
There were things that were embarrassing and angering and uncharacteristic of America, but we've never, you and I and the people listening to us, have never known or even read about an administration like this one that challenges America at every level, every day.
Yeah.
We never expected, you and I, covering, you know, politics as usual, never expected this to happen. I used to say, when I thought there was some point to it, that what I'm doing is not about politics, it's about democracy. Well, at this point, you know, I don't know what it's about anymore, but it's just trying to deal with something that we never thought we would see. You know, we'd seen many things, and whether it was Iran-Contra or torture or any of the other things that have cropped up in modern history. But we've never seen anything remotely like this.
Yeah, yeah. And there are no gatekeepers left. We don't have any gatekeepers to say, all right, hold on.
It feels that
right
way,
yeah.
Doesn't it? It does feel that way, yeah. Right now. Yeah. You know, this is Lord of the Flies out here.
Yeah, I mean, it started during the campaign when we're seeing, and we're way late for a break, but I just got to say, we started to watch all of this transpired during the 2016 campaign, and I was about to say 2015 because it does stretch back into 2015,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, does,
where we're seeing like everything we know about presidential politics says that Donald Trump should have never made it past the Serge Kovalevsky mockery.
Right.
I mean, it should have ended right there. Everything we know, our entire history in this country of presidential politics, even going back to some of the no names in the late 19th century, some of those one term guys back then. I mean, everything tells us that kind of behavior on the campaign trail was utterly and totally disqualified. Suddenly, this guy comes along and his poll numbers go up the more he does that. So then that becomes the norm and there's no one left. There are people in the media and that is true, where there are some people with a voice who are, you know, doing the best they can to call him out. And there are people like us trying to do that kind of work too. But, you know, as far as the gatekeepers, the people like Barry Goldwater, who marched up to the White House at the end of the whole Watergate affair and told Richard Nixon to bail out, that there's nothing like that now. We don't have that.
If law enforcement cannot or will not act, witness Robert Mueller, and if Congress cannot or will not act, cannot because of refused subpoenas, will not because they won't take it to the impeachment level. If Mueller is not allowed to prosecute and Congress can't seem to get around to it, then there are no gatekeepers.
Mm-mm.
They are our gatekeepers, or they were, or we thought they were until ultimately they weren't. Now, again, Robert Mueller did some great work. He gave us the tools that we need if we could just get Congress off its ass.
Yeah, that's right. And meanwhile, there's Congress. Thanks, guys.
It feels that way. I know they're doing stuff, but it's too lame. It's too small.
It's normal.
Bigger,
it's
guys.
Normal. It's in a normal context.
Well, no, but so is impeachment. That's why it's in the Constitution.
Yeah.
It would be normal. What's not normal is not proceeding with impeachment.
That's right.
That's what's not normal.
Yep. That's right. You look at the reaction to Watergate and you go, God damn it. Why can't we just have that? Whether it was Archibald Cox or whether it was the House of Representatives, why can't we have that level of vigilance from the Democratic Party and federal investigators? Why do we have to deal with, in the face of the worst despot we've had in the White House in the history of this country, why we have to be faced with, again, this sound? And it's not exactly that sound, but you know what I mean. It's not enough to rise to the commensurate level of the despotism happening right now.
Here's the problem. Your crickets are too loud.
I think so.
You need softer crickets.
All right, that's the answer. Let's take a short breath of fresh air here and talk about our Patreon page. I hate to say it. I'm like Debbie Downer today, but our Patreon totals have been following backwards recently. So we desperately need your help at patreon.com/BobSeskaShow or BobSeskaShow.com. We hit another ceiling and we need to break through it. All it takes is $5 per month. That's just 41 cents per show or $1.25 per week. That's hardly anything. And for your subscription, you get access to the post-mortem shows as well as our community discussion blog where you can post your own crap. But wait, if you can afford $10 per month, you can listen to one of the most exciting 90 minutes of the week. It's our After Party podcast with me and Kimberly Johnson every Friday. We basically describe the After Party as sex, drugs, rock and roll, and politics. Go to BobSeskaShow.com and sign up to support our independent podcast. Not only do you get lots of the aforementioned sex, drugs, and rock and roll, but you also get the post-mortem shows as well as access to our community blog where you can post your own articles. And if $10 a month is too much for your budget, no problem. Maybe think about pitching in for just $1 a month. Wait. Yeah.
Let me interrupt here to say that this is all important information that you're giving, but I think I can I can tell people the most important thing of all.
Okay.
You need to support efforts like this.
Yeah.
In order for this to continue, in order for all of these things to continue, we really, really, really rely on your support. So whatever you can do, of all the different choices of supporting the show, all the different ways you can do it, and Patreon, obviously the most highly recommended way to support this show. But whatever you can do, it's important. It all helps. Because as things get worse, this kind of work that Bob's doing here becomes even more important. Thank you.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to isolate that clip of audio that you just delivered right there, Buzz. I'm going to use that from now on because that's way better than anything I just said. Plus, you're going to be supporting this show. Plus, you'll gain access to one of the fastest growing communities of listeners, our exclusive Patreon club, plus our community tab, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You can vent about the Trump crisis or whatever's on your mind. So go right now to BobSeskaShow.com and subscribe. Thank you in advance and everything that Buzz said too. Right?
Hey, this is Randy Rhodes, host of the Randy Rhodes After Hours podcast. If you love this episode, you're going to love the whole show. Every week we talk about everything that matters to you, from our future as a democracy to our existence on this here planet. Find it all at sexyliberal.com on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and anywhere and everywhere you get your podcasts.
The Bob Seska Show. Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
This is the great Rich Turgeon with his tribute to Keanu Reeves. Yeah, Keanu Reeves is like he's like the new Betty White. Everyone loves Keanu Reeves on the internet these days. And so, here we are. So, Rich wrote a song about the great Keanu Reeves. Great Rich writes about a great Keanu.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. So again, link in the description. Rich Turgeon is one of my favorite recording artists. I've known that guy for
if I may say so, that's a funky bass.
Yes, it is. I love a powerful bass. It's great stuff. All right. Again, there are four lights. There are four lights. You only see
just
four
checking.
Lights. Yeah, just making right. Sure everybody knows. By the way, we have a new press secretary. Speaking of lies and falsehoods, we have a new press secretary who is Melania's former press secretary or former staffer with Melania's office in the East Wing, Stephanie Grisham. She's a spokeswoman for Melania Trump. She's going to replace Sarah Sanders as the White House press secretary. And that was announced today. Grisham will also serve as White House communications director. Oh, good. She's what, the 14th communications director they've had in the last 5 months? Yeah, something like that.
Right.
A position that's been vacant since former Fox News executive Bill Shine stepped down in March. Stepped down in March, and they haven't had. You know, that's the other thing. I mean, quite clearly, and because of all of the other shit in the fire hose of news, we can't quite get to shit like that. And for a while, Rachel was covering it, I know. But basically, Donald Trump, when he talks about draining the swamp, he doesn't mean just the corruption, which he's, of course, part of. And he's all of the people around him is corrupt. And it's black is white, up is down, right is wrong, all of that. But the fact is that the swamp draining quite explicitly is the fact that Donald Trump is slowly taking apart the executive branch of government and turning it into the buck stops at everyone else, except all the decisions come from Trump. I mean, that's where it is. That's an autocracy in action right there, because he's obviously not bothering replacing so many of these officials in the government. And he feels as if, well, why do we need these people anyway? And again, you ask a Trumper, and I know people personally, and it makes me want to tear my hair out. Who can just as easily make excuses along those lines. Like, why do you need those people? Don't you think it's bad that all of these people are vacating the Trump administration and no one's there to replace them? It's a bunch of people who haven't been confirmed by Congress. Well, why? Wait, what does it matter? Why do you need those? But why do you need the undersecretary of pencil pushing? Well, no, it's not that. And you can just imagine the arguments that you're having around the picnic table at a barbecue at your parents' house or wherever. It's just, that's the way it is now.
I wish I could say it weren't.
I know it
absolutely is that way, and it's, you know, we're trying to deal with it the best we can.
Yeah, it's really frustrating, and again, it's because we know these people. We know these people have been brainwashed. We know these people are part of this mass delusion that has infected a significant cross section of the country, and there's no way to deprogram them. I mean, there's really no way to get through at this point.
And I don't know. I don't know. I'd like to look at other dark ages in world history and see how we came out of them. Because this is, in that respect, a dark age, meaning information goes dark. Education is not respected. A Rhodes Scholar becomes a kook. Yeah. This is the upside down that we live in now. And how do you win them back? I think with overwhelming evidence, by not giving up, I guess, is the thing, to the extent that you can. What have we recommended before? Take a break if you have to, but get back in there, because you can't give up on right and wrong. You just can't. And a majority of us, if it's any encouragement at all, and gosh, don't you think we could use some, the majority of us want that. The majority of us want a return to right and wrong at all levels, from our president to our children. And it's getting away from us. It's nearly gone already. A good deal of it's gone. We can win some of it back with the facts if we stick to that. But if you're disillusioned and disappointed by the process, I'm right there with you.
Well, you know, and not to compound the misery at this point, but you know what's going to happen, Buzz?
Sure, let's say
Democrat X, Democratic candidate X wins in 2020. Yeah. They're inaugurated in January 21, and they get into office. Get ready for everything that we've been saying about Donald Trump for the last, it'll be at that point 4 years. Get ready for everything that we've said about Donald Trump to be recycled and aimed at the next Democratic president, whether it's he, she is stupid, he, she is incompetent, he, she doesn't know what they're talking about, he, she misspells words, he, she is a phony baloney. All of that shit is going to get refurbished and shoved back into the discourse, but coming from the other side. This is how everything operates now. And that's why I say, I don't know how we get back to some sort of, I even hate to put it in terms of getting back to something, because I do agree with the idea that the prior form of normal had some glitches in it, and those glitches gave rise to Donald Trump. What I'm talking about is a new kind of normal. You know, I'm talking about doing the best we can to exterminating the dysfunction of the political dialogue in this country.
Right. We need a shining example as a president, as a candidate, and as a president.
Yeah.
We need, and it'll just be interesting to see. I think what you're talking about is one of the prime reasons that Joe Biden remains far and away, the leading candidate on the Democratic side.
Yeah.
That could change as early as Thursday night. Mm-hmm. But right now, on Tuesday afternoon, he is far and away the leader in this race. And the reason is this desperate desire for normalcy. I think there are some Republicans who would accept Biden as president. Most Republicans would not and would behave exactly the way you expect. But those who support Biden see in him someone who will, no matter how poorly he states it, be able to work with the opposition in Congress to get things done. It's that sort of attitude and that sort of normalcy that have, I think, largely propelled the Biden campaign to this point. But I see so much charisma in Pete Buttigieg, who now has his own problems, and we're going to see more of these things along the way.
Yeah.
Biden certainly has his, and we know that his popularity could vanish in a New York second. He came a little close to it this week, saying the right thing with exactly the wrong words, and that's so Joe Biden. But you know what? Just as many people forgive Trump for his various transgressions, I think they are so inclined. Many other people are so inclined to do the same for Joe Biden. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there, if he can maintain that lofty perch,
yep,
or if he loses it to somebody else. I don't know, it's too early, and even though Bernie is second, I just don't see him being the guy that if Biden were to disappear, I think somebody might even float above Bernie, and that could be Elizabeth Warren, and we could find that out this week as well.
Yeah.
Interesting dynamics lie ahead, but I think that there is hope in a sort of normal person becoming and setting a new example. I'd love it to be a shining. You know, the attractive thing about Pete Buttigieg, and I hope that doesn't come out wrong, but the attractive thing about him is that he is so charismatic.
He's
Hopeful and energetic and charismatic, and gosh, that would be so refreshing right now.
Yeah,
because he gives off a very positive vibe.
Yeah,
and I like that. So that would be just awesome. You know, if somebody with that kind of charisma, and I happen to think Elizabeth Warren, some people don't like her, they find her irritating, whatever, blah blah blah. I like her very much.
Yeah, me too.
Whoever it is can lead by example, and that will go a long way to removing that Trumpian stain from America. It won't to get it all out, as the cleaners might explain to you. I'm sorry, we couldn't get it all.
Yeah.
I think we can become a more normal and moral nation with the right leader. And mm-hmm. So I hope it's somebody like that. You're right. They're gonna get trolled, but we've come to expect that. And this division of this country, which already existed before Trump, it's really what elected Trump, has been made worse by Trump.
Yeah, you know, at this point, I feel like when it comes to the Democratic primary candidates, I feel like kind of like Mad Max now, tied to the front of that car, just with the face mask on, and I'm just hanging on for dear life. Like, holy shit, I hope I don't crash and get killed. You know, that's where I am with this whole thing. And if it's Joe Biden, fine. If it's Elizabeth Warren, great. If it's Bernie Sanders, fine. My main concern is I don't care who it is at this point, as long as they're able to beat Donald Trump. And again, it can't be a weak candidate. It can't be a candidate who's just going to let Donald Trump be Donald Trump and do his thing and characterize the entire general election, who's going to seize the initiative and the Democrats are constantly playing catch up. That can't happen. So as long as candidate X knows how to stick it to this president and knows how to win this election, bring it on. I am at this point where I just want it to be over. I just want us to be at the end of the night on November 3rd and have a new president announced at that point in time. That's what I'm looking toward more than anything else, we need it to happen more than anything else.
And I just want us to make it that far. And with but seriously, with this, his indecision about Iran and his indecision about the mass deportation, this is, again, the arsonist firefighter.
Yep.
This is the guy who made those messes, mm-hmm. and then he takes credit for cleaning them up, only, as I said before, the fire is not completely out.
Yeah.
And yet he takes credit for having done so. We saw him do it with North Korea as well. This is just who this guy is. I had decided today, I thought of this before the show, I believe he may have every mental illness known to man.
That's right. He's like Mr. Burns in that clip from The Simpsons, where Mr. Burns literally has every disease known to any disease that people can actually get. Mr. Burns has those diseases, and they're all in perfect balance. So they all cancel each other.
Sociopath, rapist. The list just goes on and on. Hero syndrome, narcissist, arsonist. He's all of these things. He has them all.
Well, here's that clip with Mr. Burns.
Doc, I think I did pretty well in my tests. You may shake my hand if you like.
Well, under the circumstances, I'd rather not.
Me?
Mr. Burns, I'm afraid you are the sickest man in the United States. You have everything.
You mean I have pneumonia?
Yes.
Juvenile diabetes?
Yes.
Hysterical pregnancy?
A little bit, yes. You also have several diseases that have just been discovered in you.
I see. You sure you just haven't made thousands of mistakes?
No, I'm afraid not.
This sounds like bad news.
Well, you'd think so, but all of your diseases are in perfect balance. If you have a moment, I can explain.
Okay.
Here's the door to your body, you see?
All right, well, that's The Simpsons. I love that clip.
Yeah, but everything's wrong with him. Yeah. Everything.
Well, meanwhile, we got the news today that Bill Barr killed 7 Mueller investigations 10 days after the Mueller report was submitted. 7 different investigations were on the table from the special counsel's office, and they decided, more specifically, Bill Barr decided, hey, we shouldn't be doing this. What's going on here? Attorney General Bill Barr.
If only there were a Congress who could do something instead.
I know. Hello, Congress. Oh, there they are. See, we do have a Congress, Buzz. They sound exactly like that. Okay. CNN filed a request to unseal documents related to the special counsel's investigation. And on Monday, the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia agreed to that request. Chief Judge Beryl Howell ordered the release of multiple documents, including Attachment B, which listed information on applications for court orders requested by Mueller. The 65-page document shows 7 cases that were closed on April Fool's Day. Oh, that's appropriate. Mm-hmm. Only 10 days after the Mueller report was submitted to Bill Barr. The document reveals the orders involved in involved the companies AT&T, Twitter, and Facebook. Gee, I wonder what those could be about. Maybe the social media campaign, the propaganda campaign. That could possibly be it. How about Russians buying advertising time on those platforms? Yeah, that a little bit of that, too, I'm sure. And our attorney general is going to bat for... for those companies and killing those investigations. See, that's the thing. That's the thing. That's one of, again, you have in the absence of Bill Barr, you think, oh, well, someone else is going to step up and say, hey, that can't happen. We need to put a stop to this. And
yeah, Congress has said that.
Yeah.
And then did that.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. So let's see what else before we wrap up the show. Hope Hicks, the transcript of her testimony was a big nothing other than this. Hicks did say that the campaign used materials from WikiLeaks that were publicly available and said the Trump campaign felt relief when material damaging to Hillary Clinton was released. Hicks also said that Secret Service was made aware of a blackmail threat against President Trump by the notorious hacker Guccifer 2.0. She also said she was very surprised to learn that 100 contacts between the Trump campaign and various Russians and agreed that the Russians had attacked the 2016 election and aided Trump while hurting Clinton. I guess the only person in America who doesn't believe that is Donald Trump. I think even Fox News people know, Russia did this and there's nothing we can do about it. So fuck it. Doesn't matter.
And before White House lawyers stopped her, she told Congress she found it odd. I like that. She found it odd that Trump instructed outsider, non-government employee, former campaign advisor Corey Lewandowski. Trump instructed this civilian who used to work for him, who works outside of government, instructed this civilian to instruct the Attorney General of the United States, Jeff Sessions, to unrecuse himself from the Russia investigation.
Jesus Christ.
The president did, in fact, do that. It's in the Mueller report. Look it up. Lewandowski also revealed in that report did not follow the president's instructions as a private citizen to instruct the attorney general on what to do. She did let that slip out before she was cut off by White House lawyers. Meanwhile, refusing to answer 155 questions, and I think we can now expect the same from Annie Donaldson, Don McGahn's chief of staff, who apparently has reached a deal to testify for Congress. I expect it'll be much the same as the Hicks testimony.
You know what I was saying earlier, Buzz, about kind of feeling like I had things at least on a certain level figured out.
You had a grip.
Yeah, I had a grasp on how things function here.
Right.
And I was saying that, it used to be that there were certain rules that if a presidential candidate or a president in office violated some of these rules, then that person would be frog marched out, or there'd be a big long cane that would appear on stage and hook the president around the neck and drag him off the stage. Something along those lines. You know, you expect that they're, as we've been saying, as gatekeepers would swing into action and put a stop to whatever awful behavior was occurring that was beyond the pale. The things that we've always heard about. The president shouldn't be doing this. Remember, George H.W. Bush was disqualified in 1992 because he kept looking at his watch during the debate. Shit like that. That was the rule, right? And now we're at a point.
Those were such wiser times, weren't they?
Yes, you think? And then, like, Al Gore sighing during the debate every time George Bush would bring
up the things.
Yeah,
the important
exactly.
Things in history.
Right, right. But you think, okay, those are the rules. That is the threshold for bad behavior by a presidential candidate or a president. But now Donald Trump has basically, through his actions, exposed the fact that not only are the rules badly irrelevant. The rules, he's just waltzed right through every single rule. In fact, gone way beyond even that point, to the point where it's been exposed that there is nothing that will stop a president from behaving like this. There is nothing in place, at least the way the system stands right now, to be able to yank that president off the stage.
As you know, House Democrats have voted for new legislation, have passed new legislation that would prevent this sort of thing, that would correct these sorts of things that need correcting. And like every other bill that the House has submitted to the Senate, every other bill, this one too will be disregarded.
Yep.
Because McConnell's not letting anything from the House get through to the Senate except those things that are mandated by law.
Fascinating how the ideas for reform of the presidency, reform of our elections that are coming out of people like Elizabeth Warren and so on. Interesting how those laws will impact all political candidates, political parties, not just the Republicans. Because you see Republican legislation, it's all about punishing the Democrats and reducing voter turnout on the Democratic side. That's where their election reform is. But the Democrats step in as the adults in the room and say, well, you know what? We're going to regulate everybody no matter what political party it is. We're all going to fall under the same rules. And that's going to be it. We're happy to self-govern. We're happy to self-regulate. And that's what the Democrats are doing. And what comes out of that is, you know, this sense of fairness, and even though it is frustrating because, you know, these are things that will negatively impact the fortunes of candidates from both parties. But at the same time, you need these things in place. You need to have grownups in the room.
Here's my concern, and I don't mean to throw a cold water on this, but in order to make something like that law, in order to make these kinds of changes, the Democrats would need control of the House and the Senate and the presidency. And even then, you know, with the Supreme Court being stuck the way it is for a lifetime. But you'd have to have all three of those branches of government, or those one and two parts of a branch of government would have to be in agreement on a thing like that for it to happen. And as I recall, the Democrats have had that sort of total or near total control before and didn't succeed then with that or gun control or a number of other things. I hope that with a more progressive House and possibly there's a remote chance of a Democratic-controlled Senate, that maybe those things can get done. I just hope that they really do this time, whereas they did not in the past.
Yeah, well, part of the problem is that this, again, is understating the problem, but the Republicans don't play on the level. They just don't. They don't play fairly. I'll give you an example, and this is kind of a never-Trumper example. Charlie Sykes wrote a piece today in which he listed a series of things that the Democrats should not do. I mean, I'm talking about the Democratic candidates for president here, things that they should not be doing. And one of the things he recommended is, if you want to win the 2020 election, stop embracing AOC. AOC is toxic. Well, you know, that's the trap, isn't it? What they do here is they have spent the last year or so demonizing AOC and saying AOC is a weirdo and she's a lightweight and she doesn't belong in Congress and she's got crazy ideas and this Green New Deal and she's nuts and she's stupid and she's an idiot. And they say this without any self-consciousness
She's a kook.
Kook is what they're saying. Exactly right. AOC is a kook. And then what they do is after targeting AOC as being a kook for a year, they say, now don't embrace AOC. She's a kook. Well, she's only a kook because you've been spending the last year saying she's a kook. She's not a kook because of anything that she is empirically doing wrong. There's nothing. In fact, every time I've seen AOC speak publicly, even though I don't agree with everything she supports, every time I see her speak publicly, I go, well, she can be president one of these days. 10 years from now, when she sort of gains some gravitas and so on, she's really ensconced in legislation. I think she can be president.
I listen to her and I say, damn, she's smart.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Because, again, while not agreeing with everything, she clearly is. And there is this anti-intellectual mentality that pervades America right now. And it's one of the things that we have to reverse, is that Rhodes Scholars are kooks, that someone as well-educated and as articulate as AOC is a kook. If you're smart, you're nuts. and that's the feeling now. And there is a pride of ignorance among Trump supporters. You know, there's there's an admiration for those who are not college educated because they are not college educated. They've tried to associate pride with that lack of education, and they've succeeded to a large degree. If your buddies talk like good old boys, pretty soon you're going to be talking like them too. Because you fit in, and that's your peer group, or those are the people you stuck with working with.
It's funny, you know. It's funny you mentioned that accent too, Buzz, because I was just thinking about this the other day. Kimberly and I were talking about this. You know how many presidents on the Democratic side that we have had in the last 50 years who do not have that Southern accent?
One. How many?
One. We have had one Democratic president in the last 50 years who does not have, or did not have, the Southern accent. This is Barack Obama.
Well, there you go.
Everyone else does. It's a thing.
And he tried because he used the word folks a lot.
That's true.
He was an intellectual who tried to be a regular guy.
But I mean, going back to what we were saying, I mean, Donald Trump does this too. It's like, oh, Pocahontas. Don't support Pocahontas. You know why? Because she's Pocahontas. Don't support Joe Biden because he's sleepy Joe Biden. See what happens? If you support Joe Biden, you're supporting a sleepy guy. But you're saying he's a sleepy guy. We're not. He's not doing anything.
No one else is saying that. Yeah, exactly.
So that's like the I dare you to knock this battery off my shoulder. You know, just like,
so Obama was the intellectual who tried to be a regular guy, and Trump is a regular guy who tried to be an intellectual.
That's exactly right. All right, lots more to talk about on the Postmortem Show coming up on our Patreon page, as we were saying before, BobSeskaShow.com or Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. Or all you need to do really is go to BobSeska.com and click the all caps Patreon link just beneath the logo. And you are there. If you sign up for $5 a month to support this show, you get access to our community blog. You also get the Postmortem Show. And what happens with the Postmortem Show is right after this music is done playing, Buzz and I keep on talking. And for however long, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, sometimes, that's the Postmortem Show. It's like overtime.
One time it went on for 2 weeks.
I'm afraid today is going to happen too, and it's going to be nothing but, oh my God, everything sucks. We're going to talk about Border Patrol. We're going to talk a little bit about what's happening on the border. Some news along those lines here breaking just before we started the show. And a whole lot more. There's something about, oh my God, this Japan thing. Did you see the Japan thing, Buzz? We got to talk about Japan.
No.
Yeah. It's basically Trump is constantly reinforcing his foreign policy, which is, what does this button do?
Exactly.
And as I say, he's just looking at shit and going, well, what if we do this? What if we... Again, BobSeskaShow.com for the Postmortem Show, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Meanwhile, Thursday, Buzz Burbank News and Comment at BuzzBurbank.com, RealmNetwork.com. The best hour of news you can hear all week. Written and delivered by the great Buzz Burbank right here on the show. Okay, folks, we'll see you on the Postmortem Show. Bye-bye.
Hey, this is Randy Rhodes, host of the Randy Rhodes After Hours podcast. If you love this episode, you're going to love the whole show. Every week we talk about everything that matters to you, from our future as a democracy to our existence on this here planet. Find it all at sexyliberal.com on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and anywhere and everywhere you get your podcast.